So wait, let's get back to Matthew chapter 24. And yesterday we started looking at, or even this we started looking at what we call the doctrine of the last days, or eschatology. And this usually is how we study, what are the signs of the end times, and what are the things that scriptures have revealed will happen. And at times there are things we know, but then there are also things that always God helps us to understand afresh. And at times it comes as a reminder, but I believe the Bible says that God's word is useful, for teaching, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that we might be fully equipped and not lacking anything. And I believe that that's what God always wants us to learn. And we were in Matthew 24, and we started looking at, at partially at what are some of the signs that, that there will be the end of times has come. And one of the things that we established yesterday is that for sure no one knows the day or the hour. And even when the disciples wanted to know when will these things happen, Jesus was very clear to them, and he told them that no one knows the exact time. Even him does not know it, but it is only known by God the Father. But you see, there will be signs. And signs, usually in medicine we say signs are physical, manifestations of something that ma it's like evidence. Like if you say that someone is pregnant, then there will be a sign. Either there will be, a positive test, and things like this that confirmatory. So signs tend to confirm or to show that what, they are pointers to an event, right? They are pointers that it will happen, and or that it is happening. And one of the things that we have to be grateful for is that these signs that Jesus has spoken about, and we can continually see them. And also it tells us that we need to be, alert. We need to be awake, and God does not want us to be ignorant. And so we're able to see that there will be great deception, and many people will come and say, I'm the Messiah. They will deceive many. After the deception, we'll also see there'll be rumors of war, wars, threats of war, rumors of war. And we are told not to fear, because these things must take place. But you see, even as they are taking place, it does not mean that it is the end. The end will be immediate, because we saw that these are just birth pains. These are just the beginning of birth pains. And usually, as we know, birth pains, they start softly, painfully, and then they get to the maximum. It's like going to the crescendo, eh? As they increase, and then that's when now the birth is about to take place. And we can see that nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, there will be pestilences, and pestilences speak of, plagues and medical, concerns and all that. And you can see how many outbreaks it's like constantly we are following after outbreaks. Now we're thinking of now mpox, and we don't know what will come after this. And but then all these things, at times people ask, where was God? Where is God? And the scriptures have already told us beforehand these things must happen. And then we've also seen there's going to be, hatred or anti-Semitism, or hatred for the believers, and persecution and tribulation, and where everyone will persecute us, will persecute the believers, we'll be hated by everyone because of their followers of Christ. And this is something that we have seen is happening significantly. We are having so much persecution. We're having things, being taken here and there, and people being killed, churches being banned, and all, even just in the media, discrimination. There are things you will write, and definitely you will, you'll be put in jail or something like that, and all these things. And another thing that apart from the hatred and the tribulation is that, there will be increase in sin, And this is something that we have seen, that gradually, each and every year, each and every day, new ways are being invented, to commit sin. And the problem is when sin grows rampant everywhere, the love of many will grow cold. But one of the things that we saw that God is calling us to endurance. God is calling us to keep our love, you know, growing hot and staying hot. Even though others all around us, their love is growing cold, but we need to stay alert and we need to keep our hopes alive in Christ. And then the last thing that we saw yesterday is that the thing that will bring the end, all these things we have seen, they are signs, but it is a preaching of the good news. The gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached. And so for me, I'm always, you know, when I'm excited, when I see new technologies coming up, because all these technologies are God's system of ensuring that the gospel shall be preached to the whole world. And we said it does not mean that the whole world shall be converted, but it shall be preached in the whole world to them as a witness. You know, it shall be preached as a witness unto all nations. Then the end will come. And that is why we must constantly be preaching the word of God. We must constantly, anytime God gives us an opportunity to share God's word, let us share it, because we don't know whether by that person that we share, that might be the, you know, the last witness, the last nation that God intends to reach. And when the message is preached and everyone hears it, then the end will come. And we say the, you know, the commitment for us as believers is to hasten that day. And that is where, you know, the Spirit and the bride say, come, Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. So that is where, how do we hasten the coming of the Lord? How do we hasten that day, the end of the world? We hasten it by us preaching the message of the kingdom of God to the whole world. And so today we're in verse 15 in Matthew 24, and it says, the day is coming when you will see what the Daniel the prophet spoke about. You know, they call it the abomination of desolation, or the sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing in the holy place. Then, reader, pay attention. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills. A person out on the deck of a roof must not go down to the house to park. A person out in the field must not even return to get a coat. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and for nursing mothers in those days. And pray that your flight will not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for there will be greater anguish than at any time since the world began, and it will never be so great again. In fact, unless that time of calamity is shortened, not a single person will survive, but it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones. So you can see this tribulation that is happening. And first of all, we are told that the abomination, that means the rise of, you know, the Antichrist. And what we know is that the spirit of the Antichrist has been at work on the earth. Any spirit that opposes Christ is not only a spirit, but is also the manifestation of a person. So we believe that later on we'll be able to see the man of lawlessness. He's called the man of lawlessness. That means is the Antichrist, who is not only a person, but also a spirit that will manifest. And you see what happened in AD 70 when the temple was destroyed. What happens is that I think it was Rome, but when he went to the temple, he even slaughtered a pig, you know, in the temple. And this was really the abomination that, you know, that causes desolation, or, you know, sacrilegious desecration of the temple. He slaughtered a pig and then he sat, you know, in the temple and declared himself to be God. And one of the things that we know about scriptures is that there are things that happen and we think they are fulfilled it, yet there's still, at times they're just, they are a shadow of things that will come. So at times there are things that happen, we believe, we think that it is it, but it is still yet to come. And when that happened, you know, Israel was destroyed and the temple was destroyed, the nation was scattered. Until, is it 1949, when, you know, Israel became a nation again. And we'll also see something about that is also prophesied in the scriptures. But what God tells us is that there's going to be trouble. Now, if you're on the roof, don't come down to park. You know, if you're in the field, don't return back to your cot. It will be terrible for pregnant mothers and those mothers with children. And pray that when you're running, it should not be in the winter. And this is just descriptions to show us how terrible that day is. And even when he says it was prophesied by Daniel, it is to show us and to remind the believers that, you see, when it happens, know that God spoke about it beforehand. And actually, someone, I think, has said that the Bible has the most documented prophecies that have come to pass, the most accurate prophecies. And usually that is one of the evidences that we use to show that the Bible is God's word, in that if we look at, of all the historical books, the one that has the most accurate prophecies that have come to pass, that have been documented, is actually the Bible. So there's going to be really great tribulation. And for me, anytime I read these verses of, you know, if you've left your coat in behind, don't go for it, I'm always reminded of the testimony that that my father gave, that, you know, when they were in Uganda in the time of, I think, when Amin war, or yeah, when Amin took over and Obote, and I think all those changeovers of the various presidents, and he had left his uncle and his, you know, his documents in I think it was Kampala, and he wanted to go back for them, but this verse came strongly to him, you know, in his heart, that, you know, if the time of running comes and finds you, you know, in the field, don't go back to the house. And if it finds you, you know, on the rooftop, don't go back to the house. And when, you know, when that happened, he just felt that he can't stay there and he can't go back. And he forgot about his documents and his papers, and he went to the village. And that time what happened is, you know, there was this killing and people were rounded up from their estates and all were shot, you know, and, you know, he had an auntie who went back, but him, he decided he will not go back, because the word of God, you know, came alive for him at that point. And all of them were killed, the uncle, the auntie, you know, and all the various people in the estate were killed. But then later on, when he went, he found his papers. Yes, they were stepped on. Someone had stepped on them, but they were still there. And this is how God uses his word to speak to us. So, and that's why it's important that always let's keep reading the scriptures, because God speaks through his scriptures. And so every time I read this, I always remember that. And I know that God can use any part of scripture to speak to us. But what we are being told is that time it will be so bad. Now, verse 23, and this is also similar to what we said about deception, false messiahs and false prophets. It says, therefore, if anyone tells you, look, here is a messiah, don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive people, if possible, even God's chosen people or God's elect. See, I have warned this to you ahead of time. Is it not surprising nowadays you see how many miracles are being, you know, formed by, you know, by men of God, or certain signs that, you know, you can see that this is control. This is like a remote control spirit. And to those who are deceived, they will say that, no, this man of God has power. But the Bible says that false prophets and false messiahs or false Christ will rise up and they will perform great signs. That means that, and even when you read the coming of the lawless one, you know, the issue of the Antichrist, the Bible says his coming shall be marked by great signs and wonders. And even when you read Revelation, it tells us that, you know, that is it the false, you know, the dragon shall give his power to the false prophet, and the false prophet shall be able to perform great signs, that even if it were possible, God's elect people can be deceived and will be deceived. So that tells us that it is not the signs and wonders that will tell us that a man of God is powerful. I know, yes, signs and wonders are important, and because they strengthen our faith. But if we are only looking for signs and wonders, the reality is we can easily be deceived, and we can end up running after false prophets and false Christs because of the signs. So the devil also does miracles. The devil also performs signs. The devil will also do real signs that you will wonder. And I mean, when you look at some of these magic tricks and things like that, you'll actually see that some of them are actually just performed by demons. Some, yes, might be just tricks. They confuse your eyes, but actually some people really, and most people who do some of these signs, engage, you know, incantations and demons, and they can easily deceive people. Verse 26, it says, "So if someone says to you, 'Look, the Messiah is out there in the desert,' don't go there to look for him. Or, 'Look, he is hiding here,' don't believe it. For as lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. Just as the gathering of vultures shows there's a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near. Immediately after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then at last, the sign that the Son of Man will appear in the heavens, and there will be deep mourning of all the people of the earth, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heavens with power and great glory, and he will send out his angels with a mighty blast of a trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the heavens and the earth." And the Bible says, "Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When it branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know that his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you this truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows." But anyway, let me stop there for now. Maybe we'll be able to continue tomorrow on that. But the thing that I wanted us to pay attention to is this: the sign of the Son of Man. You know, people will always want to show that, oh no, Jesus is here, Jesus has come here, and the Bible tells us don't be fooled by that. Jesus will not just appear in one place. It will be visible to all, because the Bible says the sign of the Son of Man will appear. Just like lightning, you know, flashes across the whole sky, every eye will see him. He will come with the clouds. He will come with the great power and glory. Remember, we see how Jesus will come, you know, riding on a white horse. He will come with all the heavenly armies, and he will destroy the devil with just the breath of his wings, of his mouth, and every eye will see him. You can imagine, it will be so powerful that every eye will see him. And we are being told before that, there will be things that will happen. There will be trouble. The sun will be darkened. You can imagine there'll be no light. Stars will fall from the sky. These meteors and, you know, stars burning and all these things. The powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then Christ will appear. And what does he tell us? These signs. When you see these signs, you see the same way that you know that when vultures have gathered somewhere, you know there's an animal that has died. Likewise, when you see these signs, know that the end is near. And we've already started seeing that, you know, when Christ comes, he will send his angels with a mighty blast of a trumpet. And that is what we will hear. We'll just hear the trumpet, and the angels will shout it out, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive will be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. Now, verse 32, that tells us of look at the fig tree, the parable of the fig tree. You know, when you see the fig tree, it's used to describe Israel. Huh? And it says that, when we think of the fig tree, it describes Israel. And the Bible says that, learn a lesson from the fig tree. Look at the parable of the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, then you know that summer is near. In the same way, when these things happen, you can know that his return is very near, right at the door. And I tell you the truth, that this generation will not pass from the scene until this things happen. And there, you know, historians and in scriptures, there are those who try to correlate the budding of the fig tree, you know, the rising of the fig tree with the return of Israel as a nation. You understand? So when Israel came back to the scene in 1949, then those who study the times say that now that is when the fig tree budded, you know, and it's budded. And when you see this sign, Israel has become as a nation, then it can tell you that now there's a generation to go, and that generation will not pass away until the end will come. So when you see the fig tree, when you see Israel has come back again, then also we also said that you will also see that the temple will be rebuilt. That day when you see now there's peace, you know, in the Middle East, and they are now signing, and now the temple is going to be rebuilt, you can be sure that the end is very near. It's just about to come. And the Bible says that you can be sure of this. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. God is very precise and accurate in his prophecies. And Lord, we can see all these things are taking place. All these things have taken place. And they're getting with greater intensity. But the question that God always will ask us is, what is our role? How do we understand that, you know, how he will come when he tells us no one knows the day or the hour? What is our role? How do we keep sensitive? How do we keep our oils, our lamp burning? You know, give me oil in my lamp. You know, how do we keep our lamps burning? How do we trim our wicks that we are kept continually conscious of Christ's return? It is only, you know, when we read the word of God, when we are conscious, when we know of the truth, then when all these things happen around us, our job is to keep ourselves continually in the faith, to keep reminding ourselves, to keep conscious that at any time we ourselves may go, or the trumpet may sound and rapture will happen. At any time, no one knows their time. But the signs God has given us, we are living in the signs, we are seeing the signs. And even though no one knows, God knows the time. And later on, we'll see how it will be like in the day of Noah. And we can also compare with it, with how it is in our time. So I'll stop there and welcome my brother for any reflections that God has put in your heart. I've spoken here.
Thank you, Doctor. Not much from my side, but I mean, it's clear the Bible says that in those days of persecution, it will be very difficult even for believers, you know, to remain, to be loyal to the Lord, because that shows you that the enemy is going to come with so many tricks.
Yes.
So many tricks that if you're not strongly founded in the word, it may be very difficult for you to even catch the errors. I think it's, we have seen this throughout the Bible that the devil knows the word of God.
Yeah.
Was how to tweak it around. Not very strongly founded. A small tweak may take you off.
Yeah, true.
But the reminder that as we prepare ourselves for these end days, which are already, we just continue growing in our knowledge.
Yeah.
Deeply rooting ourselves in the Word of God for such a time that we will be able to overcome.
Yeah.
But thanks for the reminder. I think the message is clear, and indeed, the end times are with us.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we thank you for God's word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have not left us without witness. You have shown us the things that must take place. And indeed, you're calling us to take watch, O God, to not be caught ignorant, O God, that we should be aware of the things that will take place and the signs that will take place. And in your mercy, I plead that we help us, you help us to keep watch, O God. You help us to stay faithful, O God, knowing that at each and every point, anything may happen. The time will come, and indeed the signs are here with us. And I pray for the protection of your people, O God. The Lord, indeed, there will be great trouble, but Lord, you say that you shall watch over us. I plead that indeed the trouble shall not overpower us. It shall not catch us. We shall not be caught unawares, O God. And as well, also, there will be great deception, O God. I plead, O God, that indeed open our eyes, O God, areas where we have been deceived, areas where we have followed after wrong teachings. I pray that you bring us to the light. Open our eyes that indeed we might be able to see the light and know the right thing and the right way and what is expected of us, O God. I pray for your wisdom in everything that we do, O God, that indeed may we be alert, may we be kept watching, and indeed as the signs happen, it may just be confirmatory of what you have already said, O God. I remember our family members, remember our needs. Thank you for the week ahead. Thank you for our children, our spouses. Thank you for everything that we do, O God, our resources. Thank you for our relatives, O God. Thank you for everything that concerns us, O God. In all these things, we know that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Go ahead of us, keep us, strengthen us, direct our steps, and keep us in everything. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. May your name be exalted and be magnified. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. God bless and shalom. Bye-bye.